ESPN 97.5.
Good name. Totally fits.
A Gao Media Station.
KFC, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
The RentersWarehouse.com Roadshow. Live from Saltgrass Steakhouse in Meyerland Plaza. This is the Q-Damp Show on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Quentin Demps with Joel Blank and Barry Laminack.
What up? What up, H-Town?
What's up?
Quentin Demps in the house.
That's good.
Good to see you, my man.
You too, man.
Always good after a win as well. Quentin Demps is here. We are in Meyerland. We are at Saltgrass Steakhouse. We want everybody to stop by, say hi, grab some great food. They got some great specials going on. We are here till 4 o'clock, Barry and myself. But we got Quentin for the next hour, so we want to make sure that you have a part in the show. You can tweet us at Pac-Man Joel with a K. Yeah, that's for the Packers.
At Q Demps.
At Q Demps for Q, if you want to go directly. At Barry is funny for Barry Laminack. And we will take your calls, tweets, texts, etc., and we will get into it and get down to business with the defensive back for your Houston Texans. And I guess what a difference a week makes. First off,
yeah,
you come off a loss. You come home. A lot of people questioning a lot of things, and you got a hot team in now. Detroit's coming in. Stafford's been slinging it around.
Right.
So they had won, what, three in a row? So they looked like they were playing well. You guys shut them down, got the victory. That's got to feel really good.
Yeah, it feels good, man. Just anytime you get a win, you know, especially going to a bye week, there's no better feeling to get a win, you know, going to a bye week, man, get some time to rest, you know, heal up and get everybody healthy. So it was a good feeling, man. I'm glad we won.
No doubt, too, that people forget because Calvin Johnson retired. They just think that their offense, you know, kind of went on hiatus.
No,
with Jones,
yeah,
and with a guy with experience,
right,
on the other side, like Anquan Boldin,
yeah,
and then like you said, Stafford. Look, he may have had a little bit of a bump in the road last year,
right,
but he's found it again. He's slinging it around.
Yeah, he definitely has some weapons too. I think Riddick, the back's pretty good too.
The tight end
Ebron. So he definitely has some weapons, and you know, we knew that going into the game that the guy's going to come on with it and you know, throw the ball, and so we had to be on our A game for sure.
Now, I saw you listed as questionable. How's the knee?
My calf. It's coming along well, man. You know, healing up pretty good. Pretty good.
So bye week comes at the right time?
Yeah. Right time for me, yeah. I missed three games already, but, you know, I feel like I'll be ready for the next game for sure.
Okay, good. Yeah. So perfect timing then for the bye week.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Talk about from a team perspective that bye week. I mean, you know, I know some teams, they don't like it when it comes. Like, I think it came earlier than ever before. A couple teams, Green Bay, another team had it in week three.
Yeah.
But it seems like the bye week is coming at the right time for you guys. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily from a defense, but from a health perspective for you, obviously.
Yeah.
But from an offensive perspective, because of all the scrutiny, because of everybody coming down on all aspects, and because Miller got dinged up, Fuller's coming back off an injury, Braxton as well. It seems like this is the right time for you guys. Still sitting in a good spot in first place. But you can right the ship a little bit internally before you get back out there in some divisional games.
This is, what, week eight?
Yeah.
We play 16 regular season games, so it's right at the halfway point. You know, it's a good time to take a break, you know, kind of regroup, man, kind of take some time off, you know, and come back for the home stretch for sure.
That brings up a good point. What are some things that you guys have done well that you think as a team? And what are some things you guys need to improve on in the second half?
Well, I mean, just off top, man, we've won at home. Yeah. That's something that we've done well, and something that we got to improve on is winning on the road. We haven't won on the road yet, I don't think so, right?
Yeah.
So we definitely got to find a way to win on the road, man. That's the biggest thing that I see this team needs. You lose ball games and you point out all the mistakes, all the flaws, but that's what happens when you lose. But, you know, the overall big picture is we got to find a way to win on the road.
Talk a little bit about – this is something that we've kicked around a little bit in the studio, but it's something that Travis Johnson has mentioned, Keenan McCardell has mentioned too. But you guys lose J.J. early in the year.
Yeah.
And everybody thinks, well, your defense is going to suffer immensely.
Okay.
And I said, a lot of times that galvanizes a defense because a lot of times you find yourself – you guys are doing your jobs, but you know that guy over there on the one side of the ball is just going to be dominant.
Yeah.
it seems like you guys have come together even tighter as a unit to say, look, we all got to step up.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem like the defense has slipped, if that's possible. You guys are all doing your jobs. The defense looks like they're still playing at a very high level.
Yeah, and, you know, a guy like J.J., man, we definitely took a hit with that one. You know, three-time MVP, of course, you know. But we all knew that, you know, if we didn't have him, that we had to step up, you know, especially the front seven. Whitney, those guys, Vince and Clowney, those guys are stepping up, doing their job. Simon playing good football, man. So we knew that going on, that we had to pick our games up for sure.
Where did this AJ Bouye stuff come from, man? He just blew up in the last 2 weeks. It's like, where did this come from?
Something has clicked in his mind, man.
I
can see it in his eyes every day.
Yeah,
it's just clicked in his mind, man. He sees his potential now. He's been this guy, but you know it takes a little bit for that maturity to kick in, and so it's kicking in. And We're seeing it.
Yeah, you could see in the Denver game that they looked at him to pick on him early.
They did.
And he made like three or four plays right off the top.
They did.
And then the next thing you know, I'm looking at articles after the Denver game, and they list him as one of the top five corners this year in the NFL. So
no question.
He elevated his game like we were talking about. The whole unit has galvanized and come together. But everybody's up there. Clowney, to me, is the guy.
He's locked in, too.
He led the NFL in tackles for loss. But everybody said, well, five technique. The minute he puts his hand in the ground, he's different. He's light. He's not going to handle it. Not only has he handled it, but we know that that's a bump and grind position where you're going to get dinged up.
Yeah.
He's got a reputation for injuries. Healthy, leading the league in tackles for loss, and dominant when he gets in the backfield.
He really is. He's disruptive for sure. I think he's done a good job, too, like AJ. It's just clicking in their minds, man. They can really dominate this league, and so we're seeing it, and we need it. We need it on defense for sure each and every week.
Another position that's – seems to have come out of nowhere for this team is tight end.
Yeah,
is that a product of them changing up the play calling? We heard, you know, Bill O'Brien was going to take over play calling a couple of weeks ago. Is that a product of that, or is that just them trying to figure some other things out and maybe make it easier on Brock by opening up that tight end?
I'm not sure, man. I think I think defenses are focusing on Hop, you know, and Fuller, and so and leave somebody to get some work on linebackers, and so. I think the coach is doing a good job in exposing the weaknesses of the defense that come in that week. So, Griffin for Dorwich, man, doing a good job. Anderson as well, too.
I want to see more of Anderson. I really do.
Yeah.
He just
got back, though, right?
I'd love to see him more involved in the passing game. He's kind of one of those tweeners. He can be a wideout, but he can be a tight end at the same time.
I don't know about that.
See,
he could be a tight end and a running back.
I don't know about a wideout. Green Bay's making it known that they can turn receivers into tailbacks.
Yeah, that Montgomery
possible.
Guy, right?
Yeah.
Well, he's undersized for a tight end, though, wouldn't you
yeah,
say?
But he's oversized for a receiver, right?
Okay.
Well, maybe like Anquan Boldin.
Yeah.
Right? I got you.
Yeah.
I think he's like 200.
I mean, I'm not putting him like
it. Anderson's like 240, though,
More like an H-back slot kind of guy, because
right.
he does have that size, and he's required to block. But it was crazy, because first game of the season, he comes out like gangbusters. He's like, whoa, Anderson, he can play.
Yeah.
And also, he disappears for a little while. Mm-hmm.
He's a rookie.
And then he comes back on the scene in the last week and a half or so and really makes his presence felt, because we know Bill's offense likes to utilize that tight end position, and everybody's going to get their shot.
Yeah, no question. He's just a rookie, you know, going through rookie stuff. But I like him a lot, too.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be good.
We're here at Saltgrass in Meyerland, so we're going to be here up until 4 o'clock. Quentin's going to be here up until 2 o'clock. So if you got questions for Quentin Demps, it is the Quentin Demps Show, because we got a whole new open. It was a fresh new scene for us. Not only are we on location, but we got new tunes. We got a new feel, new atmosphere. If you guys want to ask questions, let us know. We're on Twitter. We're also texting and taking phone calls, 713-787-ESPN. Here until 4 o'clock, we are ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Saltgrass Steakhouse in Meyerland Plaza. This is the Q Demps Show on ESPN 97.5. Here's Quentin Demps with Joel Blank and Barry Laminack.
Quentin Demps, along with myself, Joel Blank, and Barry Laminack, as we're here until 2 o'clock with Q and up until 4 o'clock here at the Saltgrass location at Meyerland off of 610. Great location. We're just digging into some of the food. It's fantastic.
Yeah, why are you perpetrating the fraud eating that salad?
Because you know I always go healthy and you always make up for it. Because
I don't believe you.
They're still trying to find how big the other half of the calf was that you just put in your mouth.
Oh, he killed that thing.
Yeah,
man, I'm telling you what. I'm sad we came back from break. I was enjoying this.
Well, your cheeks still are, because it looks like you're like storing it for the winter.
I'm pretty excited about this steak now. I'm telling you.
You don't indulge?
I do. Yeah, no question.
Or just after the show.
I got a sweet tooth, man.
Do you have like a freaky diet? Because we talked to Travis Johnson about that.
Yeah.
And he's eating like 70,000 calories a day.
Uh-huh.
Do you you try to keep it healthy and lean, and or do you just eat what you want because you can burn it off?
Yeah, I eat what I want because I just burn it off.
I hate you so much.
Phenomenal. Like Trapp was talking about the fact, like the night before games, and we kind of we went from the time y'all leave the stadium, until you show up on the road, and then the meals that they give you, plus the guys still go out and get food, and then he ordered room service. Yeah. And I'm going, that's like 32,000 calories.
That's a lot of calories. Yeah,
and we don't
calories.
Hold back there, but we have speakers in the restaurant, so we don't want to go too far. But we were breaking down what goes in has to come out, and also the fact that he said he wasn't afraid to let some of it out when he's on the field. So we covered
nasty.
The gamut, but they don't short you on food when you're playing in the NFL.
No question. No, they take care of us.
Yeah.
Definitely an all-around buffet.
You know, we were talking about it during the break. You and I are pretty much the same.
Same
size. Yeah, 5'11", 208, 210, something like that.
Two.
So I could probably go, right? Like, I mean, yeah? No?
Possibly.
Why are you looking at my arms? Why don't look at my
possibly.
Like, go,
gotta
go,
size
I
should have
wore
man.
A long sleeve
to
today. I should have wore a jacket today. Don't you don't have to look like just eye contact.
We'll send you on a blitz every time. How about that?
yeah, head down. Head
me
first.
And Wilford can clog the middle.
Yeah,
You haven't seen him in coveralls yet.
Right.
I mean, with no shirt underneath, it's not pretty.
I got that side boob working, though.
Yeah, the moobs are there, and they're fresh. We were talking a little bit before the break on the Texans stuff, but I want to get your opinion on some things going on in the NFL.
All right.
That game over there across the pond, the Redskins and Bengals. Josh Norman came out after the game, basically says, I don't know who official number 88 was.
Yeah.
But want to talk about the fact that I went back and looked at the tape, and, I mean, of the five calls on him, two, maybe three, were questionable at best. Could have gone either way. But have you seen, first of all, your take on that, but then have you seen a change in the way they're officiating a lot of the hands-on, the contact between you guys and the receivers? Because it seems like, I know everybody says it's an offensive league, it's a passing league.
Yeah.
But it seems like it's inconsistent. You can't get from week to week without the guys changing the way they call the game.
Yeah, you know, I saw Deion Sanders talking about that the other day, and he said something that was really, really good. He said that these guys are the best that we have. You know what I'm saying? Like, the game is going so fast, and they're doing the best they can to catch stuff and call stuff. And so, you know, with that said, I can't complain anymore about it because it's really hard. Their job's really hard, you know. And so all they can do is the best they can. Like, it's whatever. Like, I think he said, too, the DBs get away more with holding than they get called. So, you know, it is what it is at this point. Like, you got to just play the game. If you get called, you get called.
Well, and people don't realize the fact they have technology in front of them. They can run it back on the DVR. They can freeze frame it. They can look at these things. These people with their naked eye are trying to call it in real game time.
Humans, right?
Yeah, and you yourself, we're just talking about 4-3-9. I mean, these guys at lightning fast speed.
Yeah.
I go back to the Julio Jones play against the Seahawks, but in live action.
Yeah.
You have to have that many officials on the field, but it's really tough still to see Richard Sherman grab the one arm
because
you see Julio's one, and everybody focuses on the ball and everything, so it's tough.
Yeah, it's just tough. It's tough, man. I don't know. I don't think that was smart, though, by Norman. I think Deion said that, too. Like, man, they're going to be there for the rest of your career, you know. Like,
is that going to backfire against him? Are they going to call it even tighter now?
Nah, I mean, maybe. You know, maybe. You know, they are human,
too. You started off to say no.
They're human, too. They might be pissed a little bit, give them a little extra flag every now and again.
But like you said, I mean, and I go from from all my time working, doing the Rockets games and everything, too.
Yeah.
I knew it from an NBA perspective, too, that you've got to calculate how you mention an official, whether it be by name or just the officiating in public, because you have to realize there's going to be scrutiny right from the get-go. And if you do it the way Norman did it, the one thing you run the risk of is, hey, he thinks if he mentions it in the media that we're going to give him some calls now, we're going to lighten up. So for that very reason, they might dial down on you a little bit harder, and then you might get more calls.
Hey, he brought it on himself.
Yeah,
man.
So
he made his bed. He got to lay. He got to lay in it, right?
Well, I think that's a good transition into what Cam's going through and what he talked about.
Yeah.
First of all, are you buying what he's selling? Do you think he's not getting a fair shake back there? Are they missing some calls on him?
I think they are.
Do you think he handled this appropriately? Because it seems like he's been bringing it up every week, like, yo, man, I'm getting beat up back there. And now it's like he's had enough, and he wants to go talk to Roger Goodell, which is going to do him no good.
I know some guys see it as, you know, him crying.
Yeah.
You know, some guys may see it as him trying to get the same calls that Brady gets or Aaron gets. But, you know, so it's kind of, you know, it's back and forth.
Why shouldn't he?
Calls. He should.
Yeah.
He should. No question.
So here's
everybody's saying he's a runner, though.
But it doesn't matter.
Outside the pocket, it's different.
It doesn't matter.
Right?
Yeah, outside the pocket is different.
Right.
Right.
But here's my perspective yesterday I shared with the listeners was I equate this to how the NBA said Shaquille O'Neal was never officiated differently than the rest of the league. But that's just bull. Because when you look at it, they said, here's a guy that's bigger, stronger, and more athletic than any big man. No one else can do this. We got to officiate differently.
Yeah.
And you look at Cam and say the same thing. Cam's a quarterback that's about, what, 6'6", about 265, 270, and athletic as hell.
Right.
They're going to say, oh, he can take that.
He can take that,
and
right.
They kind of don't throw the penalty as much because he's such an imposing figure. I think he gets the short end of the deal because of that alone.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, that's well said. But I don't agree with that, though. Like, you know, he's still the quarterback.
The philosophy, right?
Yeah, he's still the quarterback, but.
Well, and here's the other thing. One thing I've noticed is he does talk to the officials a lot. And, again, we go back to that theory of when you start talking.
Did you see Earl Thomas? I'm sorry.
Yeah, with the hug. Hugs the official. He hugs the official. He gets a penalty.
Yeah. How corny was that, man?
But at the same time, I go back and look at Cam's tapes. And for all the times he takes the helmet to helmet, he takes bad shots. Every play, it seems like he's turning and saying, did you see that? What are they doing? And officials, again, are saying, you're not going to bait me. I'm not calling that.
Hey, I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, in the pocket, it definitely should be even, you know, for sure.
Right.
Like, you know, I mean, another one going at his knees and stuff.
Another one that would have a beef is Big Ben. He doesn't seem to get all the calls because
somebody said that too in the locker room, too. Like, he's the same guy as Cam, actually.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he's a big
guy. Athletic, too. He can run, too. So.
But I think the difference is he's not complaining.
He does.
Or outwardly, at least, right?
Yeah.
He's not in front of the microphone, in front of the media complaining.
Right.
So we talked about the officials. Did you see? I thought it was so sad. You said Earl Thomas went and hugged the guy last night. Wow. One of the officials blew out his knee and got carted off. And man, how sad was that? That the stadium didn't even clap for that dude as he
didn't clap.
One Viking went over and shook his hand.
Wow!
And then he's going off. He's trying to give the thumbs up. Nobody's even clapping.
They were in Chicago.
Like, that's not right. They get no love.
Chicago,
man.
The Bears, Bear fans, all terrible. You don't have anything to do with anything
gritty.
With Chicago.
Gritty
that
in Chicago, man.
So talk a little bit about that game last night because of the fact that it shows there's so much parity in the league. Minnesota, who everybody was anointing and saying leader in the clubhouse in the NFC, you don't expect a one-win Bears team to go and do that kind of damage to a Vikings team that looked, I don't want to say unbeatable, but looked like they were the cream of the crop. You guys played them. You knew firsthand.
Yeah.
But that was a different Sam Bradford. The Chicago Bears proved they could put pressure on the quarterback. And Cutler came in as a different guy. He moved the football last night.
Yeah. Listen to me, man. Anytime you play a division opponent, the records go out the window. Like, it doesn't even matter, man. You know, and I'm saying that for my gamblers out there. Don't do it, man. Don't look at records when division, you know, when division opponents are playing. You know, I don't think it's smart because you play twice a year. You know, for what, however many years, and you know these guys. And
got tape on them.
Yeah, exactly. So you know these guys, you know, personally, and it's personal battles out there, and so you just never know with those games.
Man, it's almost like rivalry games in college, right?
It
doesn't matter. Those kids have seen each other all through high school and college. Yeah. And, it is, and we hear about that. Like, when you talk about gambling, and we've heard guys on the station talk about double-digit division dogs and how you just, man, stay away from division games most of the time, right?
Don't do it, man.
What is it? Is it the familiarity that you never know what's going to happen because you see these guys twice a year?
Yes, you see them twice a year. You know, like, you know the weaknesses and the strengths more than, like, you know, us playing the Chicago Bears or something like that. Like, you know, when we play the Colts, we know them, like, in and out. You know?
Yeah.
So. It's just tough, man. You never know what you're going to get.
Well, and you look at the Sunday night game, too. That to your point, perfect example. Philadelphia, big-time underdogs against Dallas in Dallas.
Yeah.
And then you got an overtime game where Dallas has to really pull it out, squeak it out in the end.
Yeah.
And it shows you that those divisional opponents, like you said, man, it's like playing against your next-door neighbor for all those years.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
What's going on.
Yeah, exactly. I think the Bills beat the Patriots this year, too, early,
they
right?
They beat them the first time.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I guess they didn't have time and stuff, but. Well,
they also had some heavy
time.
Artillery that they were throwing on the field. I don't know if you saw that, too.
What's that?
They threw some the Bills fans weren't having it. They threw, some adult enjoyment toys on the
field. Oh, really?
On
you didn't
the field.
Hear about that?
I didn't hear about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they threw
were they mad or something?
No,
well,
they
the
were
guy,
horny,
so here's
apparently.
The thing. I don't know.
They were horny.
So the guy takes his cell phone. Yeah. It's like self-incriminating. Shows that he's throwing it.
Uh-huh.
He hurls Richard, as we'll call him.
Yeah.
It bounces on the field, and the greatest thing of all is to watch the back judge and the side judge both look at each other, look at it like, are you picking that
no,
up?
I ain't picking
I'm not
it
touching
up.
That. It was absolutely.
No, I didn't hear about
I'll show
that.
You in
That's
the break.
Crazy.
It was absolutely crazy.
I'm surprised nobody thought it was a flag.
I don't think you can mistake that for a flag. I'm just saying. So you got the break, right?
Yeah.
And then we get into those divisional opponents again, like
we
you
have
were talking
yeah,
about.
We have, yeah.
Jacksonville's a team that I said at the start of the year was on the come simply because Bortles looked like he was settling in. He's got two big athletic receivers. Mm-hmm. and they were starting to build on the offensive side of the ball. Haven't lived up to billing yet. They get rid of the offensive coordinator, but you know, every time you go on the road, divisional opponent, everything goes out the window.
Everything goes out the window.
So what do you expect from that Jaguar team now? Different offensive coordinator at home waiting for you guys.
They're going to play us tough. I think it's going to be a tough game. Definitely going to come down to four quarters. You know, we got to go down there, man, with our heads on fire, you know, rested, you know, ready to go, rejuvenated, and, you know, get ready for a divisional opponent.
Do you use the road motivation that you, like you said, 5-0 at home, 0-3 on the road?
Yeah.
Got to get that first road win.
Yeah, well, I think we're more so division win.
Okay.
You know, we can play them guys in the backyard, you know. Yep. That's our motivation this week is division, you know, division opponent. That's the first goal in this league, man, is to win your division. And so we, you know, and we got to win on the road, too, of course, but. Our mindset is, man, we gotta take care of our division first.
Well, we're here with Quinton Demps. We are in Meyerland at the Saltgrass Steakhouse. We would love to hear from you. Q would love to meet you, shake a few hands, kiss a few babies, sign a few autographs. We're here till 2 o'clock, and he's all about that. He's all about the peoples. So if you want to be one of our peoples and Q's peoples, come on over and stop by, say hi. We'll take some pics. We'll shake some hands. We're here till 2 o'clock with Q. Till 4 o'clock, we will be here doing our show. Barry Laminack, Joel Blank, along with Quinton Demps, ESPN 97.5.
Nice.
ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Saltgrass Steakhouse in Meyerland Plaza. This is the Q Demps Show on ESPN 97.5. Here's Quinton Demps with Joel Blank and Barry Laminack.
Saltgrass. You know, we're here doing our thing, Q-Demp show. Come holler at me, man. I'll buy you some water.
I was going to say, whoa. When that came out, I was like, whoa. There's a lot of people that got bit bug eyes in the restaurant going, hey, wait a minute now. That cheesecake looked awfully good. Barry already's going to have like a half a city block size.
I'll give you some water, man, with some lemon.
Ooh, with the lemon. You're going all out.
Big spender.
Joel Blank, Barry Laminack, proud to be a part of the Quinton Demps show, the Q-Demp show. Which is heard weekly right here on ESPN 97.5. We want to encourage you people to be a part of the show. You can tweet us. You can text us. We can get questions to Q, and he will answer. It doesn't have to be all Texans related. I mean, he's a very well-rounded man. He knows a lot of different things. He's a Spurs fan, and we need to know that. So we can have all kinds of questions for that. You will.
Who do you like?
I'm a native Houstonian, man, so I'm a Rockets fan. Born and raised, man.
No question.
Yeah, I had a bad experience, so I'm a fan of everybody that plays Rockets.
I got a question for you, man. When you saw Coach Izzo getting screamed at on the sidelines, does that make you feel good as a player? Because you're like, yeah, about time one of the coaches gets screamed at, because it's always the players, right?
No. You know, it's just one of those things, man. We all know OB. You know, we were with OB from OTAs all the way to, you know, the end of the season, man. So we know, you know, he may flare up and go off one time or two. So
yeah,
it's just part of the game.
I think it's overblown, right? I mean, if you've been around football at all, screaming is just a part of it.
That's part of the game.
Cussing too. I mean,
it is what it is.
I think the media might be overly sensitive and trying to make it out to be bigger than it is.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Man, we were talking about that. The fact that it's got to get old for you guys. And again, a great time for the bye week.
Yeah.
Because you know that these guys are in your locker room, sitting in front of your locker stall every day with the same questions. And even though you're a defensive player, they want to know, what do you think of the offense? What do you think of Brock? What's going on? What are the answers? It's got to, I mean, yeah, it wears on you.
Well, it's just the world, man. Right? Like when you lose, they hate you. When you win, you know, they all pat you on the back, man. So it's just one of those things. We ought to just go 16-0 every week. It wouldn't be any negativity. You know what I'm saying?
So, be easy, right?
Yeah, be easy. But you know, it is what it is, man. Like that's part of the job. You know, we signed up for it, you know, so
okay. Well, then and
that's me. You're speaking for me. Like, yeah. You know,
I hate to transition to this because this is probably the toughest question I'll ask you all day.
Yeah.
But why do you think this team struggles against the upper echelon teams in the NFL?
I don't think we struggle.
No?
No.
So, well, you lost to Denver, right, upper echelon team.
So why is it
struggling? The Vikings.
Why is it struggling?
Well.
Because you lose.
Well, New England, you didn't
score.
Well,
that's the question. That's what I'm asking. You lost
City,
to New England.
Is Kansas City considered upper echelon?
Well, they're 500 right now, right? Or they're 4-3, 3-3.
Without this year.
I wouldn't consider them upper echelon just yet. I think they have a good shot of making the play, the a wild card. even in that division, that tough division.
Right.
But it just seems like you guys, I mean, against the teams you're supposed to beat, you're winning. But against the better teams in the league, the team has struggled a little bit.
I think it's on the road.
Okay, so you think it's more road than – okay.
I think it's more road than the team. Because if you look back, you can see that – I mean, it's evidence. Like, we only lost, you know, on the road. But at home, we played, what, Chiefs, Titans, Bears.
Tennessee.
Well, I said Titans.
Okay, yeah.
And
the Lions.
Lions. So, I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't know what the remedy is. I know, you know, just as a player in that locker room, it ain't the team to us. It's more so ourselves playing better on the road.
Do you change things up? Because I know in the NBA, even especially in a playoff series, like you stay at a different hotel, you mix up the routine a little bit just so that guys don't have that kind of mentality of last time we were here, you know, we lost. Yeah. I don't know if you guys do that in the NFL because it's such a big traveling party, but I know that in the NBA they do that.
No, we don't do that. I think, you know, we stay the same places. It makes it easier for, you know, everybody involved on the other side of the team. So, you know, it's just one of those things, man, that, you know, like you said, they play playing good teams, but, you know, look back at the Patriots. Are they the Patriots without Brady? You know, are they better without Brady? Like, you know.
Well, and the scrutiny,
were they upper
the scrutiny was
Brady?
That you guys, that was as big of a slam dunk win as there could possibly be because not only were they without Brady, but Garoppolo's out too.
Right.
You know, Brissett comes in and, like, third-string quarterback.
Do they drop? Are they worse now?
Now? No, you know, they're okay.
Okay, so what you guys
– they have a chance.
But what I'm saying is you still consider them –
there was a tongue-in-cheek sarcasm in that statement. Yeah, they're just okay. But Brady hasn't thrown a pick, and they're playing fairly well. So
he's a beast.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that they're okay.
Right.
But overall, I mean, to Barry's point, just because of the fact, and it's a great point that all three were road games. The Denver game, in my opinion, you know, you guys
are
were
they
in
upper
that
echelon?
Game.
They up
right now.
I'm trying to consider what's upper echelon to you guys.
First of all, you guys. I mean, but
defending Super Bowl champs, I think, counts as upper echelon.
Okay,
all
right.
They look. I mean, from a defensive perspective, the Broncos are going to be a top five defense. Minnesota was undefeated.
Okay.
The Patriots. Everybody said.
Was Minnesota a playoff team last year?
They were. They won the division last year.
Nice.
Yeah, they won the division and they beat the Packers to do so. So it's a double whammy. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So that's not good. We don't need to talk about that anymore.
Drop the mic.
Yeah. Just drop the mic. Walk away.
I don't know, but in
the Denver game, you're in that game. The fumble cost you greatly because you guys were scoring the football, moving the football a little bit more. You're in that game. I think the only game that – I mean, the two games that concern me, again, are the road games. The Minnesota game, New England game. New England, for all the reasons we talked about, third-string quarterback. You guys don't score. The Minnesota game, because I really felt good going into that game. I felt like you guys had some momentum back. I mean, this was a statement game. And it just seemed like – everything happens so fast, and before you blink your eyes, they're up like 24-3 or 24 whatever, and you're like, man, what the heck just happened? Because then it seems like the whole game plan changes because now you're playing from behind. You're trying to get a whole bunch of points on the board. You kind of abandon the run there. So it's an interesting – it's just to get your perspective is interesting because you look at it and you say, hey, look, great home team.
Yeah.
You know, and you're doing exactly what you're supposed to do.
Right.
And the big thing that you talk to guys that play in the league say, hey, you try to win all your home games, steal a few on the road. Well, you've only played three on the road, so you do have that opportunity.
Yeah.
And like you said, now everybody puts all the emphasis on the quote-unquote big teams. Mm-hmm. But now, as you stated, the bigger thing is win your division games because there's double meaning to them. It's a divisional game in case you get into a tie in the standings, but also because – they're more important because you know if you beat them, you can win this division and
go
be in a
playoffs.
Good position. Right.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Fair enough.
We don't care. We don't have to worry about the big teams. We just worry about
the big teams.
So
are we a big team?
It depends on how you look at it.
I think that's what I'm saying.
So it depends on how you see the Patriots.
Yeah, latest power rankings, the Texans were, what, 11th? That's what I saw?
Yeah.
Well, but which is crazy because when you were 3-2 or something like that, or 4-2, they had you at 18th. You're 4-2 and you're at 18th. So, you know, again, it's everybody's has their own opinions
opinion,
and all
right.
the quote-unquote experts think that they've got it figured out. But at the end of the year, look, you win your division and you host the playoff game.
Yeah.
That's all you can ask for.
Right.
One step at a time. So you guys just keep doing what you're doing. You didn't make the schedule. You just play it.
We just play it. Right. No question.
Now, I know you don't care about stats. Most players don't.
Or do you?
Stats.
Yeah.
Team
like,
stats?
Yeah, team stats.
I do.
Stats.
I mean,
I like
Team stats.
Okay.
Especially
so
defense.
Help me understand or help the listeners understand that this defense is second against the pass and passing yards per game and 29th against the run.
Right.
What's the difference there? What's going on that makes it such a vast difference between the two?
Well, I think you got to kind of look at the games. You know, if a team is up on you, they're going to run the ball. You know, so you may lose stats there. And you know, it's just one of those things, man. That you know, when you're doing well, when you got a strength in one thing, you may be weak in the other. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's just we got to find a balance. And you know, because we dominate the pass, obviously. You know, says the stats.
Yeah.
So we got to find a way to be better at the run. But just one of those things.
They need you in there, coming up supporting that run defense, huh?
We got to all play better. You know, when the run's hitting you, it's either like, you know, miss gaps or miss tackling. You know, and so I think a lot of times it's about us, you know, being in the right gap at the right time.
Okay.
And Cush has played well.
Yeah.
And Simon's flying around all over. I mean,
yeah,
if you guys were healthy in the back end of the secondary, in the back end of the defense, you guys arguably, like I said, you guys could be in a position where, not that you forget about J.J. Watt, but again, you could be in that conversation with Denver and Minnesota and say, hey, look, this is a really above average defense. I mean, one of the best defenses in the league. And yet with all the injuries, you guys just keep on trucking. Next man up. Let's just do this. Let's do that. That's what's impressed me the most is that it's not like it doesn't carry over a week. Cush had a bad week 2 weeks ago, came back strong last week. But, again, like you said, sometimes, too, it's just the scheme the offense is giving you.
Yeah.
What gaps are opening up.
Right.
How they're creating their blocking
That's
schemes.
Huge. Yeah.
And that kind of sometimes can catch you guys a little bit in a position where a guy might be, you know, singled out for a play or two and people focus on it.
Right.
But when you look at the body of work, you guys are still getting it done.
Yeah. Yeah.
The secondary, I mean, and talk about a little bit about the losses that you guys – J. Joe's been bumped, beaten up a little bit. Kareem has
missed a couple games.
Has been out and fighting the hamstring.
I missed a few.
And then the loss of Kevin Johnson.
Kevin Johnson, yeah.
I really thought he was playing well at the time he went
was.
Out.
He was playing really, really good football. Really
so
good football.
Do you look at management then and say, hey, we might need to bring some guys in to kind of
– No.
Or you just say, hey, look, we still got enough.
These guys are still National Football League players.
Yep.
You know, it's your opportunity. Let's see what you got.
Andre Johnson.
Yeah.
Retired.
Yeah.
First ballot Hall of Famer, in your opinion?
No question.
Really?
My man.
Like, no debate whatsoever.
No doubt, first ballot.
Okay.
You got to look at his body of work. You disagree with that?
No.
I don't necessarily disagree with it. I think I think Andre Johnson is a Hall of Famer, no doubt. I don't know if the media and the voters will put him in.
What's the argument? What are they saying?
You want to know? We're going to tell you, because we're going to set this up what we call a tease. We're going to let people kind of marinate on this. When we come back, we're going to let you know what people are saying and what the scrutiny is on Andre Johnson. Does he get in the Hall of Fame? Does he not? Statistics are part of the deal, and you're a stats guy, you said. So we'll talk about that and much more. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Saltgrass Steakhouse in Meyerland Plaza. This is the Q Demps Show on ESPN 97.5. Here's Quentin Demps with Joel Blank and Barry Laminack.
Take it, host of
Yo,
the show.
We're back. Saltgrass, baby.
Meyerland. I'm just the backup singer. I'm doing what you need me to do. This is Quentin Demps Show. I'm here for support. I'm like a good pair of boxer briefs. We're just supporting. You're leading.
Yeah, Saltgrass. You know, we in the building.
It's me. Good. You bought a ton of water already for
everybody.
All these kind of people.
People don't understand how generous
water
Quentin Demps is, getting unlimited water supply to people here at the restaurant.
Go ahead.
Quentin Demps, Barry Laminack, Joel Blank. We're with Q till 2. We're here till 4. So, again, tweet us your questions, your comments. Unfortunately, Q, I have to bring some of these up because we do have a large contingent from up north in the state of Texas.
Okay.
They want to know, do you think the Cowboys are the number one team in the league right now, and what it would mean if the Texans would, one, make the Super Bowl, and if they would face making an all-Texas Super Bowl?
So one question at a time, right?
Okay,
I think the Cowboys
are the best team in football right now?
The best team in football right now? No.
And I think I know the answer, but who is that you think is the best team in football right now?
The guys in Boston.
Yeah. Yep, the New England Patriots. I'll say it. It's hard. It's painful, but it's true. Brady still has yet to throw an interception.
Wow.
Missed the first four games of the season and is being considered for MVP.
How many games? Only lost one game?
Yeah, they lost to Buffalo.
Yeah. Yeah, they're definitely the best team in the league
right now.
They
lose one game, Barry, or two, New England?
One.
One. Yeah, Buffalo.
So it's just the Buffalo
the
game?
What's just the other
one.
Part of that question?
So then the other part of the question is, and I separated it, but
okay.
How important would it be for you guys, and how extra big of a deal would it be to go to the Super Bowl in your own hometown?
That'd be that's making history, man. Yeah. So that'd be huge, you know. That'd be a way to go to the Super Bowl.
Are you already getting hit up for tickets and all that?
Nah, not right now, man. Yeah, you know, I'm a veteran, man. My phone goes off.
Oh, that's smart. But I mean, I know that everybody's already trying to plan out and scout out what they got to do, regardless of who's playing in the game. But then the other question was, what would it mean to make it an all Texas Super Bowl, Cowboys Texans in Houston for the Super Bowl?
I mean, me being a Texas guy, you know, I'm born and raised in San Antonio, Texas. That'd be huge. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Something I was a part of. It'd be cool to tell my grandkids.
Doesn't matter as long as you get there, right?
Yeah, it doesn't matter who the other team is. I just want my team to go.
Right.
Now, we talked about Andre Johnson before the break. We said first ballot Hall of Famer, yes or no?
In my eyes, yes.
Okay, and
got some good information.
We bumped some knowledge your way during the break.
He did. He's lacking
a few things.
He's lacking in touchdowns.
He is. We did the math. He has 70 touchdowns over his career. That's averaging 5 touchdowns a year.
Some of his best years, he had less than that.
My question, you know, just for me personally, my thing with the Hall of Fame is, you know, did you affect the game? Or did you enhance the game with your play?
Mm-hmm.
And I think Andre Johnson, that's the first thing that comes to my head. Yes, he did.
In the locker room as well?
You know, I played with him. He was a leader by example, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But just, you know, every team that played against him respected him. We respected him for sure in the locker room. But, you know, you had to double him. You know, kind of what Julio's doing nowadays. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just he was that dude.
Well, this article that I had read when I first heard about it, John Clayton said that it's going to be tough for him to be a first ballot. I think everyone agrees he'll be in the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
Just not necessarily first ballot. If Terrell Owens wasn't a first ballot Hall of Famer, who was third all-time in touchdowns and second all-time in receiving yards, and he wasn't a first ballot Hall of Famer, then I don't know what the criteria is.
Right.
But looking up just touchdowns alone, he's 40th, Andre Johnson is, all-time.
Yeah.
So I think that's where – when you talk about, he'll be a Hall of Famer one day, but the difference is will it be first ballot or not? I don't know. And I guess the same question would be I'd give to you for Arian Foster.
Is he a Hall of Famer?
And I don't think anyone thinks he'll be first ballot, but do you think he's a Hall of Famer?
See, I think it's body of work with Arian.
I don't think he's a Hall of Famer.
I think the Texans could retire his jersey.
Yeah, exactly.
I think
one of the all-time great Texans. For sure.
Ring of Honor kind of guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't see all the Hall of Fame.
Fair enough.
And I think that, you know what, at the end of the day, you just know a guy's got a gold jacket. Like early on, when the guy first gets in, you'll say, "Well, he wasn't the first ballot." But after a year or two, I think all that passes. They just realize,
you know,
you're immortalized in the history of the game, and you got a gold jacket.
Your face is in Ohio, right?
Yeah. Right. If you're in Canton, you're good. You're golden. But the question I have for you is, and I'm sure you enjoyed being a part of it, but the game evolved to the point where it's a passing game now.
Yeah.
Where I look at a guy like a guy that's on our show all the time, Keenan McCardell with Jimmy Smith, and when they both retired, they were in the top 10 in receptions, yards, everything. And all of a sudden, thanks to Peyton Manning and these wide-open West Coast offenses, you blink your eyes, and every one of Manning's guys, you know, were in the top 10. Everybody in a passing offense has a passing offense, and receivers are just going up and up and up and up.
Yeah.
I think that hurts Arian because from the standpoint of it used to be the focus on the running back and pound it and grind it and do all those things. Now it seems like it's a passing offense. That's you guys from week to week, you see that the first thing that most teams are doing is opening it up, spreading it out, West Coast type thing?
Yeah, no question. 11 personnel, you know, with a flex tight end who can flex out, you know, spread out wide a little bit and, you know, create mismatches. And so I think that's become the game, man. It's evolving into a passing league, like you said. And but it's still some teams out there that run the ball, though, too, like the guys in Denver.
Yep.
I think Kubiak's old school. He's going to run the ball. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's definitely evolving.
We said from the quarterback position, too, it used to be a good thing, like a feather in your cap to say, you know what, you're a game manager.
Yeah.
Because
now it's,
it's taboo, and it's like the worst thing you can be called in the world is a game manager.
Yeah.
But the thing is Coop's offense is normally like game manager. You can use the guys that are your biggest weapons. But overall, hey, let's just not lose it on offense and let the defense do their thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, that title right there of game manager
is – nobody wants that.
Quarterbacks don't want that
anymore. They don't want that tag anymore.
No.
Josh Like a Boss on Twitter asked, knowing you're from San Antonio, and you and I talked about this before the show, and I said I would ask you anyways, but he brings it up. He wants to know – who you think the best team in the NBA is and who's going to win a championship. And he's totally putting this on a tee for you.
Yeah, the best team is the Spurs right now.
Oh, man.
I mean, that's not even being biased. They're the best team. They go the first game of the season, they go down and
beat the champs.
Golden State and beat the champs, man. By 30.
As much as I want to argue with you.
You can't with that.
I really don't have a leg to stand on right now.
You beat them by 30 at home.
Yeah. The question is, do you think – I mean, because when you and I were talking, we talked about the fact that people are still saying the Spurs are old. And I don't think that's the case necessarily, right? I mean, Duncan's gone. Yeah. Ginobili is older, sure. But this team has gotten younger through free agency.
Right.
What are your feelings on the Spurs? And do you think that they legit have a shot at winning it all this year?
I think Popovich is the Belichick of football. I mean, of basketball,
first and
foremost. And so he's going to always have a team that's in the playoffs, in the thick of things. They're always going to be a team that's, you know, can win a championship. I think Pop is also becking on the game coming back to big boys pounding because he got Gasol, Aldridge, you know. I think he's hoping it comes back to that. But right now it's running gun, you know, as we know from Golden State. But Spurs, I think the Spurs will win it this year, hopefully, you know, but –
What is it like growing up
Never know.
In San Antonio? Only game in town is basketball. I mean, you're a football guy. I'm sure you played other sports.
Yeah.
But, I mean, good or bad, I mean, the Spurs are like the gold standard and the only thing going. I spent a lot of years working with the Trailblazers in Portland, too, and I know when you're the only game in town, it can be really good when you're good, but it can be hard to take when you're bad. There's a lot of attention on you. But what was it like growing up in San Antonio with the only game in town being professional-wise being basketball?
Yeah, I mean, it was growing up. You know,
what'd you do for football? Cowboys?
Yeah, no question, of course.
Yeah?
Everybody, yeah. Yeah, no question.
No,
Cowboys,
no
Cowboys,
love you blue.
Cowboys.
Oilers never came into that picture?
You know what? I don't think so.
Okay.
I think the Cowboys were America's team.
Oh, we know that's changed.
Me growing up, you know. Who's America's team?
Oh, Green Bay. There's no doubt about it.
Oh, get out of here.
You got to win something. You got to win something in like the last 20 years.
Jeez, heads.
I'm going to throw this steak up everywhere if you don't stop talking like that, man.
Didn't they win in Dallas?
Oh, yeah, I was
they
there.
Won a Super Bowl
it's Lambo. That's actually Lambo South. That's what we call
Lambo
it. Jerry's World is Lambo South.
That was a good one.
So, yeah, that's, you know, that's the way we like to treat it. Look, pleasure doing the show with you, man.
Yeah, man, it was fun.
It was a good hour. Like we said, we put everybody's Twitter handles out there, and Q's a very open guy, man. He's great about answering anything and everything. So if you got questions, some of you guys had something more than realistic questions and comparisons like Gale Sayers to Arian Foster. It's a different era, man. I mean, Gale Sayers was – like top of the charts for, you know, every year until he decided to fold up his tent and go home, and he quit early because of a knee injury.
Yeah.
But, you know, we got guys. Cody, a loyal listener, wants to talk about the Buffalo Bills and Percy Harvin coming back to the Bills possibly. Yeah. I
think he did, right?
Your quick thoughts on the Buffalo Bills?
Good team.
There we have it. Barry. That's all we needed.
That hard-hitting, in-depth analysis and only here on the Quentin Demp Show.
And we covered Cody. There you go.
They're a good team.
Good. Yeah. I like it.
There you go. So, great pleasure. Thanks for having us on your
thank
show.
Thank you guys, man. Appreciate
hey, while you're driving home, make sure you keep that dial on 97.5. Listen to us, too, because we'll keep it real.
Check it out, man. No doubt.
Every week, Quentin Demp is going to be doing his show with ESPN 97.5. He's rotating through different salt grass locations. Like today, we're in Meyerland. Next week, we're going to be somewhere else. So make sure you know where we're at so you can stop by, say hi, get a free glass of water from on cue. He's going to run
the
tab
lemon,
up big.
With the lemon, baby.
Yep. Lemon might be a little extra, but, you know, that might be limited on the selfie pics. But make sure you do that. Barry and I are going to be back from 2 to 4 to do the regular show. But Quentin Demps has been here on the Quentin Demps Show, and we've just been honored to be a special guest. We'll be back with more 97.5 FM.
Nice. Peace.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.